We're living through an unprecedented time in U.S. history. We've not experienced this at least for 100 years in this country. Coronavirus has, of course, caused all kinds of quarantines and sheltering in place, various orders in various states. And undoubtedly, it's going to cause some major knock-on economic effects, which we haven't even begun to realize yet. So are you prepared for a financial disaster? And I'm not talking about a national financial disaster. I'm talking about a personal financial disaster. We're going to talk with two guys that I network with who are extremely knowledgeable about this. I've known them for a while. One is Nathan Nelson, who's a client, and this is not a paid podcast. Nathan is a client, but Nathan's also a very strategic-oriented business attorney. And we're going to talk to Todd Rooker, who is a financial consultant and who has had quite a bit of adversity in his own life and actually knows what to do. We're going to talk about being prepared and what that does and how that affects your stress and fear factors. And so I think it's a good time to talk about this stuff. We're going to do it in podcast 917, Preparing for a Personal Financial Armageddon. Well, we're going to talk about emergencies and contingency plans in this podcast. And of course, one of the essential businesses that is still operating is Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul for home or business. Because if you are in business or if you're at home, you know that you're going to have problems with these systems and making sure that they're running right, especially at home or your business when you have plumbing or heating problems or air conditioning problems. You want reliable service. You want someone that knows what they're doing. And of course, that's Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. You call 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Ryan goes back four generations in Frogtown, and what do? You guys have been hearing me talk about Ryan for a long time. They do quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. Now, we're going to be getting close to air conditioning checks, although right now, all I would say is get your air conditioning when it gets to be 70, turn it on, and just make sure it's running right. If you have problems, you can always call Ryan. But now we're dealing with broken pipes from the winter and toilets that are backed up because people are putting things down the toilet that they don't need to. Any other kinds of heating, air conditioning, or plumbing problems. Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Metro-wide from St. Paul. So it doesn't matter where you are in the metro, whether it is Eagan or, you know, West St. Paul or Maple Grove or all the way down to Burnsville. Think Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. You call 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Online at ryanplumbing.com. Now, a lot of companies that are manufacturing are looking for American manufacturers. Let me refer you to Depot Star because they do great stuff. CNC, they do medical devices, very fine electronics stuff. American manufacturing, Depot Star, D-E-P-O-T, Depot Star, American Design Engineering and Manufacturing. Visit them online at depotstar.com. Welcome, Nathan Nelson from Virtus Law.
Thanks, Bob.
So this is a really unprecedented time in our history, and I don't think anyone obviously is old enough to remember the last time we went through this with the Spanish flu crisis, in which there was an awful lot of sheltering in place and quarantines and everything else. So we don't really have any data to know what happened with business at that time. But whole towns were basically, they circled the wagons out of some of these towns in rural Minnesota. And of course, they didn't realize that the flu was airborne. So that didn't really solve any problems. It appears, and I think it's fair to say, it appears that to a certain degree, the social distancing may be working. We'll see. But there's going to be knock-on financial effects. And so I'm going to talk to Nathan and Todd today about being prepared for this. And I guess we should start with the disclaimer. So you being the attorney here in this group, I think you should do the legal disclaimers first.
I appreciate that, Bob. Yeah, anything we talk about today is not specific advice for any person. You need to consult a professional to get specific advice. We're talking generalities, and it really would be a disservice to yourself to take them and decide that they are applicable for yourself. So this is not creating any type of attorney-client relationship by me being on here and talking, and Todd is not creating any type of financial advising relationship either.
Okay. So the thing that you and I have always talked about, we network together. And one of the things that we always talk about is how businesses, and I want to focus really on small business because you are really well, I always say in your ads on these podcasts about how you are really truly a strategic thinking attorney for businesses and small business in particular, that many of the small businesses that we network with and across the country, some of them only have 4 or 5 weeks of wiggle room before they're really going to be in dire straits. And this is something that you really have to plan for before the fact. So talk a little bit about planning before the fact and what small businesses can do, and then what they should do if they haven't planned, because that's often the case, right? You've always got good examples of how people think they're doing the right thing and it's really not.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you mentioned, 4 weeks of cash, that doesn't go very far. So really the first thing people need to do is take a look and just exponentially look out at their cash flow and say, how much time do I have? And what I'm finding a lot of business owners are doing is maybe the phone's still ringing or they're saying, hey, we're going to be back in business in 2 weeks, so I'm fine. And so their analysis is limited to a best case scenario, and it needs to be a worst case scenario. And we need to start making decisions accordingly. So it may be that we look at it and say, okay, well, I only think it's going to be 2 weeks, but I'm going to plan for 12 weeks. Oh boy, now I don't have enough cash
right
to make it 12 weeks. And I remember I was an attorney. I was, had been practicing a couple years when we had our recession. And what I came away with was business owners needed to move faster and more decisively to survive. And those seemed to be the business owners that did really well. And part of that means if we're not going to cut employees, where are we going to cut expenses? If we're going to cut employees, cut them faster rather than later, especially when we have unemployment benefits that are there. We need to really take a hard look. Again, phone might be ringing. Hey, I don't need a loan. Apply for them anyway. Figure out where your cash is going to come from for the next 12 weeks. And make it, when we think about crisis planning, it's really about survival. And if we put it in the family sense, right? I mean, I may be a terrible cook, but if the option was my family starves or I learn to cook, well, I'm going to learn to cook.
Going to be a lot of frozen pizza.
That's right. There might be.
But we'll eat.
We'll eat. And we have to apply that same thing to the business. We have to take the word can't out of it. So it might be, who are our essential employees? What can they do? What things could we get them to do that we've never thought of before? And now let's just use an example. Let's say that you're a small business and you're generating about $50,000 of revenue a month right now, and you have a small profit margin. You're looking at projections and you're saying, okay, well, I know I need $40,000 a month to cover my expenses, and I'm only projecting $35,000. Uh-oh, what do I do? We just got to start going down the tally of, okay, well, I've got a loan. Let me call the lender and see if I can get a deferment on that.
Maybe I've got a line of credit.
Line of credit I can access. Can I go to interest-only payments? If I have a landlord, are they willing to defer my rent? How likely is it that they're going to evict me if I don't pay my rent, or if I pay late, or if I make payments over time?
And when we were talking, you were saying a lot of times that if they've got an attorney, the attorney, it's worth the money to have the attorney negotiate if necessary. So if your revenue is going to be that far down. And when we're talking about this, this is not personal. This is a business thing. So you're talking about negotiating with the landlord on the rental for the business.
That's correct. Commercial setting.
Right.
Your lease may have a force majeure clause that actually allows you to suspend payments if the government shut down your business. And what we find, Bob, and you see this a lot when we talk, people say, hey, I'm the type of person who pays all my bills and I'm going to keep doing that. And what they do is they put their family last. So I'm going to pay everybody else, and then what's left over, my family gets.
So then there has to be a plan in place for your family as well.
Correct. And so we want to reverse it, take care of the family first, and then make the business work after. And that just becomes a numbers game. And when you get okay with the fact that you may not make some payments, it gets a lot easier to figure out the math. I think bankruptcy attorneys are going to do great in about a year.
But that's a nuclear option, as you were saying, that if you do declare bankruptcy, you know, that's a decision you have to make based on whether or not your business is going to get extended credit in the future.
That's right. And if you know that that is an option and your creditors know, they don't want you to do that. They'd rather get paid. And that makes people a lot more likely to negotiate with you, come up with payment plans. And you can survive this. It's fine. You just have to have a mindset to it. So if you get behind with one creditor, what's your payment plan to catch up? Are you going to borrow? Are you going to go to them? Who are the key creditors that you have? Can you negotiate new terms with them? You want to keep them happy, maybe keep the ancillary creditors as a plan B creditor that you're going to deal with on the excess side. And just in general, get as much money as you can. Cash is king right now. So if you owe someone 10 grand, 3 months from now, and you can go to them and say, I can give you 4,000 now. Can we call that good and kind of reboot our relationship? That will be far more successful than if you come to them and say, I have no money and I want to make payments over time and I want you to give me a discount.
Or if you just don't say anything and don't call them and don't have any communication with them at all, which is probably, I think the hardest thing to do is to make that call and to try to work it out without them calling you first. I mean, obviously, I would think that if a bank is really on top of things, they're going to be calling their customers and saying, you know, where are you at and what can we do? And wouldn't you think, or they won't?
Most people don't, but the people who are most successful are over-communicating during this time frame. They make their creditors and their lenders their business partners.
Okay, so if I am the kind of guy who says, I don't need to plan, I'm a hip shooter, this business is bailing gum chewing gum and bailing wire anyway, and no, I don't have a plan, and no, I don't have any credit, and, you know, what do I do now? Like, in other words, it isn't that the wolf is at the door. The wolf has broken through into the living room, and we have barricaded ourselves in the bathroom at this point. Is there anything that I can do, or have I screwed the pooch at that point?
Well, you've made your life a lot harder, but there are still some things we can do. And it all comes down to let's start with, you know, family's got to eat. How do we make sure the family eats? And then we work backwards from there. So have we overextended ourselves? Is it time to give up? Is our first analysis. And part of determining that, you know, are we ever going to be able to recover from the debt hole that we put ourselves in? If the answer to that is, yeah, we can recover. Now we're going to put together a plan. It's going to be a revenue-driven plan with a combination of reduction in expenses. We just got to reduce as many of those expenses as we can through intensive negotiations. On the revenue side, it's going to be cash heavy. We're going to reduce how much credit we're extending to our customers, make sure we get as much money in the door as we can so we have liquidity to then negotiate.
And I don't want people to think that I'm, you know, being dark and negative about any of this. The fact is that at this point, we don't know how bad it's going to get. And some businesses are thriving. It just depends on the business. And it depends on what kind of services that they provide. And so I'm not saying that every business in the country is going to be, you know, in this dark spot. We don't know how far it's going to go. We don't know if there's going to be a V-shaped recovery. We're not trying to predict the future. But this is information for people who are looking at a situation where they're trying to save their business at this point. And I think you should just briefly address the personal stuff. You know, if let's suppose I have a job and I lost the job. And as has already happened with a couple of people who are friends of mine, they can't even get a hold of anyone at the state to deal with unemployment, and they're getting their they have never applied for unemployment, and now suddenly the food shelves are empty, and you got two or three kids, and very little money saved up, and you may not even have cash. and I mean, I'm painting a very dark picture, but, you know, I know at least two people that can't get unemployment right now because the state's websites are jammed or they are getting disapproved for unemployment.
Yeah, that certainly is a dark picture, Bob, but not one that is uncommon right now. I'm taking those calls as well. So first thing, you know, there are jobs to be had. They aren't maybe not the jobs that we would normally pick, but people are hiring. And if you have no options, you still have options. And when we start with that crisis planning of, hey, there are things we can do, it really is empowering for all of us to have that mindset of, we're going to get through this. There are ways for us to earn money.
Right.
So we've got the job option. Where the job option isn't, now it's almost the same thing. Do you have a home line of credit that you can access cash? Have you tapped that out yet? If you haven't, do it. If you have credit cards, well, now you've got available credit. Go get a new credit card if you're out. Because we're just trying to survive, right? We're just trying to keep food coming in. And the normal pushback to that, Bob, is people say, well, I don't want to run up all this debt that I can't get out
of. Right. Well, that's what I would say. Why would you tell me to go get debt? But you're saying the reason is you don't want to spend all your cash.
That's right. We want to save our cash. If we have cash, if this lasts a short period of time, we can always use that cash to pay off the credit later. But we want to conserve as much cash as we can right now. And if we're gonna go down and have to look at those nuclear options of bankruptcy, well, that's a problem 6 months from now. We're worrying about the next 30 days. A big thing that people overlook, Bob, just on this personal side, is on their estate planning. If you're a business owner or an employee, do you have powers of attorney set up? Who's making the financial decisions if you're sick? If you're a business owner and you get sick,
right?
Who's writing the checks? Who's cutting payroll? Who's making sure creditors, who's speaking on your behalf?
And that stuff is obviously really key right now because you could end up, I mean, you know, if the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom is, you know, in the hospital in intensive care, you could be in the hospital in intensive care. And of course, then there's also the expense of that as well. Although the White House says they're going to pay for that.
they do. And I hope so. But I have that in my own personal plan. That's my E option. The government pays for it. I've got maybe B that are different resources. But you start listing out all the ways that you can do it. So my family, you know, we looked at it and said, okay, well, if the phone stops ringing, at what point do we look at securing different employment? When does my significant other go get a job different than her career? Is there a point where I need to look at that? And it's just things that you have those conversations ahead of time. You know when you're going to enact your plan, and then it's not as scary. And if you've overreacted and this doesn't become bad or doesn't hit your family, great, no problem. You know, I would say it's very similar to when I used to go canoeing a lot. I always packed rain gear, but it didn't always rain.
Right.
The times it rained, I was really glad I brought it with.
It seems like a lot of stuff to lug, but at least you got it.
That's right. At least you got it. So if you've got the plan and you don't use it, okay. But you're going to be glad you have it. And there are a lot of business owners I've talked to and individuals I've talked to right now that if you don't have 4 weeks of cash, you know, if you have 1 week or 2 weeks of cash, it is time to take action immediately. If you have 4 weeks, you should be moving in that direction. You really want to be about 8 weeks, 12 weeks, whether it's business income or home family income, that you know you can cover.
And all things being equal, at this point, we might be able to get there if we're careful about what we spend and save as much as we can, basically. We don't know. And I guess the reason I'm bringing this up is that we really can't predict the future. There's going to be some pretty grim earnings reports coming out and unemployment reports coming out, which could seriously affect, you know, restarting the economy at some point. And the longer it's not started, the longer it's contracted this way, the harder it's going to be to restart.
You're absolutely right. And again, it's always about prioritizing, right? Minnesota's put a moratorium on housing evictions. So,
oh, good.
I'm not saying don't pay your landlord. You know, you should. But if the option is eat or pay your landlord, I think the option's pretty pretty clear which ones you're going to pick. So over communicate, make sure that you're appropriately spending money where you can. Now is probably not the time for that luxury
boat
that you always wanted. But if you got excess cash and that's a good investment, you can get a good deal and you've got, 12 weeks of cash. Okay. Well, maybe you do want to make those investments because there are opportunities right now as well where people are doing deals, they're doing low interest rates to spur spending. And it's a great time if you have excess liquidity to take advantage of those opportunities for future investments.
Right. And that's an optimistic statement, which is good because I think some people are like, why are you so doom and gloom? It's like, this is just realism is all this is. And what you're saying is there's lots of opportunities as well. And I suppose opportunities to buy businesses too, if you have the resources.
Fantastic opportunity to buy businesses. A lot of businesses, I do a lot of mergers and acquisitions, and that market has been booming. It has been definitely a seller's market, and I think it's going to turn into a buyer's market over the next 12 months.
Okay, Nathan, now in the second half of this podcast, we're going to talk to Todd Rooker, who's a financial strategist and coach, and I'll tell you more about him very shortly. Got to mention, a lot of people working from home, and that means print cartridges, and you can't get to the big box stores to pay extra for print cartridges. That's where Cartridge World comes in, because they deliver, and you get 30% off compared to the big box stores. Free delivery on qualifying orders. They can also get you a printer, which is pretty awesome. Cartridge World, 763-420-6632, or click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. So listen, Nathan, I've got Todd here on the phone so we can kind of all talk together and you can hear what Todd is saying. Todd Rooker is a financial strategist and coach, and he's helped a lot of people get through these financial Armageddons and challenges, starting with the farm crisis back in the mid-80s all the way up through 2008 and currently. And of course, I network with Todd. I've known Todd for a long time, and he's really a go-to person. The amount of knowledge that he possesses is often both daunting and really amazing about what he does know that he's probably forgotten more than most people know. So I'm going to get Todd on the phone here. So we were talking, Nathan and I were talking about really strategies for business, and that I just read an article that said that many of these small businesses and individuals too, I'm sure, have very little cash. They can last 2 or 3 weeks maybe, or 4 weeks maybe, and then the wolf is literally not just at the door, but in the living room, and you're barricaded in the bathroom. You've obviously dealt with a lot of adversity in your life, and we were networking recently, and you guys were talking about, strategies. And you said something about how what I have to say people may not want to hear, and it makes people uncomfortable, but it's the truth about what you have to do, especially not knowing what's going to happen with the current, literally, financial crisis and economic crisis that we're just about to live through here.
Yeah, I think when you go to a crisis situation legitimately, people are too slow to throw the switch and recognize that they're completely in a different environment, and that is the problem. They want to be good people, they want to do the right thing, and they want to superimpose morality on matters of business, finance, and law. And you must recognize that when you're in a survival situation, that circumstance, the rules to the game absolutely change. And the slower you are to that conclusion, the worse off you're going to be. And that is to say, the less money and control that you will have to be able to be left in a position where you're making the decisions as opposed to the decisions being relegated to you and you have no decisions. So that's I see that with my clients, Bob.
I mean, is this? Have you ever seen anything that's potentially as bad as this? I don't think I've ever seen anyone just turn off the economy. And the assumption is, believe it or not, we're just going to turn it back on, and it's just going to come back up. Have we ever encountered this kind of a situation before?
Well, the extreme circumstance that people find themselves in, I will say to that question, I've dealt with that many, many times, and frankly, worst scenarios when it comes to individuals. But if you're asking me, have I ever seen any such thing as widespread, the answer is no. But from an individual perspective, I deal with people all the time who are going through financial challenges. And as I said, have been, you know, when you go to war with financial institutions, and just that point alone makes people cringe, because they don't want to go to war with a financial institution. What are you talking about? I mean, I'm a good person. I just want to pay my bills on time. And that whole mentality that got them to the success that they enjoy is the very mentality that will hurt them, in so much as now they'll want to continue to pay their bills on time, to do the so-called right thing, and they'll spend every dollar that they have, oftentimes, to sustain and support a burn rate, that is to say, not enough cash to cover those expenses, so they'll take their own personal reserves and support that, and they run out of money, and now they have no options left. So people are too slow to react to these circumstances, whether it be widespread, everybody's in the situation, or individual. I've seen it.
Couldn't agree with you more, Todd.
And you're saying also, one of the things that you said earlier, not in this instance, but when we are networking and talking about this stuff, you said that, so there's a series of things to do that if you get right with yourself and do them and face it, then you aren't afraid anymore. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. Here, the first thing that a person must do is to confront the worst case scenario. Now, I say that and people will smile and nod because intellectually they might understand, or I'll expand on it and then they'll, you know, understand and agree. But the reality is their brains make them, in some cases, incapable of actually doing that. So when I do a meeting with someone who's never missed a payment in their lives, who pays all their credit cards in full or adds extra to their payments every month, when I bring up the term bankruptcy, they just about want to jump out the window in my office. And to me, that's just an automatic, logical conclusion. Let's go to the worst case scenario, something that you probably can't or aren't capable of bringing yourself to. And let's consider what we lose and what we keep. And let's make plans and strategies around that. And then we'll go all the way back to your best case scenario, and we'll create contingency plans in between that, which is to say, look at the worst case scenario. Recognize that if you do the right things from day one, it's not nearly as bad as you thought. And obviously you hope those things never happen.
Right.
And so you make the plans based on the worst case scenario, hoping that the worst case never happens, and then everything becomes easy after that.
And we're not saying that the worst case scenario is going to happen. We're not trying to predict the future, because we don't know what the future is going to bring. This is for people who are literally hanging by a thread right now. And some would say they couldn't have possibly prepared for this, although, you know, if you've worked on getting a good backlog of cash, you're saying, If you're in dire straits, you want to hang on to that cash as long as you can. And by the way, Nathan said the same thing. I don't know if you heard him, but he said the same thing.
Yeah, well, so here's the funny thing about that, Bob. The fact that people aren't in that situation is the thing that stops them from looking at everything from that perspective, because they will go on, in my mind, this is the way I look at it, deluding themselves that they'll never be in this situation, because they're always the glass half full, everything's going to be okay, don't worry, it'll all be all right. And I don't have a problem with people looking at things that way after they've looked at it from a worst case scenario. So when I talk about what to do and what not to do in terms of starting with the worst case scenario, I've said this before, but I'll say it here. Look, if I know that in bankruptcy, as an example, in our state here in Minnesota, you can exempt, if you own a homestead that's on farmland or rural property, you can exempt $1 million in equity. I don't mean that your farm's worth $1 million. I mean your farm could be worth, you know, $10 million, and if you got $9 million in financing and you're left with $1 million in equity, and you've got a 401k that's got, you know, $1 million in it, you need to know that you can file bankruptcy and you can preserve all of those things as exempt assets. So here's the question. If right now in this moment you don't have any problems, why would you ever take a line of credit against those things, and or take a loan from your retirement account to subsidize your burn rate, meaning that the income that your business is bringing in is not adequate to cover all of your expenses, so you're going to subsidize it with those things. Well, if it's prolonged, you'll subsidize it until you'll simply run out of money, because no matter what that number is, in a real business with many employees, it's not going to take you very far down the road.
Spot on, Todd.
Now, because of the prolonged nature of the situation, you're forced to go to the worst-case scenario. God forbid bankruptcy. You never in a million years thought you'd have to do it, except now all of those things that you could have exempted, gotten rid of the debt, and had on the other side to help you rebuild and start anew are all gone because you use them to support a burn rate throwing good money after bad.
So that's you're talking
what I mean by starting with a worst case scenario.
And one of the suggestions that you made was unsecured credit and take advantage of as much credit as you can, because you can always pay that back if it doesn't, if everything doesn't go dark.
Absolutely. So, you know, you're looking at the worst case scenario and you're hoping that it never happens. I have a term I use, lock yourself down. And what that means is you get every line of credit you can possibly get right now. And you may be the type of person who's saying, wait a minute, I'm concerned about being able to pay my bills and cover my costs, and now you're telling me to get new credit. That's absurd. Of course that's what people think. And I say, you stop paying your credit cards in full. You stop accelerating and paying extra money towards your mortgages and your business lines of credit and finance, and you pay the minimum payment and not $1 more. You preserve the cash that is yours that you would otherwise use to do that. And moreover, you even take it a step further and use credit to pay credit with to preserve your personal cash. Because personal cash is your decision-making oxygen. If you don't have it, there's no decisions to make. You run out of money. Now, whatever people tell you you have to do, that's what you have to do, because you're not in a position to fight. You can't hire people like me. You can't negotiate because you've got nothing to negotiate with. And so people will spend all that money trying to do the so-called right thing, and they will literally burn themselves into the ground. This is why I say you have to recognize the situation for what it is right now. And although you may tell me you've got a year's worth of income to live on, what happens if the thing goes on for a year? Well, then the very money that you thought smugly you had plenty to cover everything now becomes blood money to put food on your table and feed the people you love. Well, you need to start thinking about that right now.
And that goes for individuals as well as businesses. You're speaking specifically about business owners, and we're talking small business owners. You're talking about specifically about business owners, but it applies to individuals too.
Of course it does. And Nathan brought this up. Hey, look, if the mortgage companies, the banks and the mortgage companies are offering moratoriums on payments, something that you know, you don't need that. You can make your mortgage payment. Well, let me tell you, if a mortgage company, FHA mortgages, are offering 1 year without payments and it simply goes on the back end of the loan, and that means all that money that would go to the mortgage would be physical cash that you would have to help you put food on the table, gas in the car, and survive the day. You're saying, I don't need that. Well, let me tell you what. If the mortgage company you're dealing with only gives you 3 or 4 months and you don't take it, let me guarantee you that if this is sustained and prolonged, because 3 months down the road, now you do need those monies, nobody's going to give you credit for paying last month and say, well, now that you're in a position you need it, now let's give you the 3 months. No, that's gone. It's over. And that option that you had, those bullets to fight in the battle, they're gone. And so you need to take advantage of every line of credit you have available. Stick the money somewhere else. Don't use it. So, hey, man, if in 90 days everything's great and the world climate has gotten to a point of some semblance of normalcy, hey, you just simply take the money and pay it all back and no worries. But I would always rather have the money in my safe than in the bank vault, because that means I have the decisions as opposed to the bank relegating the decision, locking up my bank account, and now I don't have the money anymore and I have no more decisions to make. I always want to put myself in a position of power and strength.
Everybody wants to know about these payment protection plans that the Small Business Administration, through this recent legislation, has done. And now they're talking about an additional $350 billion for the SBA. And my understanding is that the Treasury Secretary, as I said earlier, is actually reviewing these loan applications himself, which is sounds a little extreme, as Nathan would say. Thoughts on the SBA stuff, because this is what everybody is thinking about. If they have a small business, obviously this is not for an individual, but small businesses all want to know about this. I look at it and I think, well, if my business can last 3 weeks or 4 weeks, why would I want to take a loan that allows me to pay my people for three more weeks? I don't understand the efficacy of doing that. Am I wrong, or is there some is this one of those loans that you're talking about, or are you talking about getting three or four new credit cards and grabbing the cash out and putting it in the safe so that you've got additional cash? If everything's okay, you can pay it back, but you're also keeping your own powder dry. What about the government loans?
And every individual type of line of credit, every note, promissory note on the repayment of a loan has its own set of implications. You know, credit cards, cash advances, I don't like them. But if you want a broad or generalized answer to the question, yes, take them all. Because here's the thing, for a business owner, because the 3P program, the payroll plan that is forgiven, that business to a business owner, and maybe it's your company you work for, that is the goose that lays the golden egg. In other words, if that business doesn't survive, there's nothing to come back to. And that's why the government's doing it, because they want their economy, businesses
to be able to restart,
still come back to.
You're right.
That's what they want. So if you're asking me, should a person take advantage of that? Are you kidding me? Of course they should, without even a question. There shouldn't even be a shadow of a doubt, and I don't care how strong you think you are financially.
What if you don't have any employees?
Well, if you have it available to you, you have it available to you, because it is your bread and butter and the way you make it, you put food on your table. And I love using these basics, food on your table, because I'm trying to drive a point home, because it is about that. You're thinking, you're deluding yourself and saying it's not that extreme for me. Well, it's not that extreme for you yet. How long do you want to burn cash? How much of your own money do you want to use until you run out? So I am saying take advantage of these programs. There's not even a question. I mean, if you ask me, should I take advantage of the available credit I have right now? Yes. Well, don't you need to hear what kind of credit it is? No, I don't. I would always rather have the options. Now, I'm not saying use the money yet, because that would be another decision down the road. But the decision I'm talking about is even having access to it to make the decision.
Right. One more question. Personal finances. So how do you start cutting your budget to kind of get through this?
Well, I mentioned a couple things already, and I'll reiterate just because it's important and drive the point home. Stop overpaying anything. Stop adding extra money to your mortgage payment. And stop paying anything more than absolute minimums on your credit cards, and keep that cash yourself. That's obvious. Then the other things that we're talking about, some of which are going to happen by circumstance, and that is that you're not going to be eating out as often. And so the food that you're eating, most likely now for the first time, have the time to be very selective at the grocery store. And obviously things that you buy at the grocery store and prepare are going to be less money than dining out. And many of the social activities that you engaged in before, now those activities are no longer available. And so I would immediately be very proactive in contacting every creditor I have and every type of membership program or anything like that. And I would cancel them or put them on hiatus for a period of time to preserve as much physical cash as possible. Again, I'm going to say this is blood money. Every dollar, I mean, $500 in your pocket, if you have to make the decision, should I pay 6 months of my auto insurance premium or feed my family, and it's the last $500 you've got, let me just guarantee you it'll take you 2 seconds to make that decision. And you can't perceive that you'll ever be in that circumstance, but when you are, it will be too late.
Now, as Nathan mentioned, and Todd as well, there's going to be a number of opportunities. Some people have the cash right now to do things, and so it's a good time to talk to Whitetail Builders if you're going to do a new kitchen or the basement or do a man cave in the garage. Believe it or not, there are people doing this to build your dream. You need a builder who's going to be by your side from start to finish. That is Randy Grabo at Whitetail Builders in Andover. 612-282-8801. That's 612-282-8801. I'll tell you a secret. Randy loves doing brand new kitchens, and he is awesome at it. And a lot of the people that we work with just can't believe what a job he does. If you're interested, check out the Whitetail Builder banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com or visit whitetailbuildersinc.com.
So the one thing that I want to say is that Nathan and I have worked together for years with people who are in these circumstances, long before, you know, the coronavirus ever came about. And there is nobody I'd rather be working with than Nathan. Nathan has practiced bankruptcy law. He has negotiated debts with me wherein I position the person's financials to give him the leverage to negotiate. And he's outstanding. I mean, he's just outstanding. And I love working with Nate.
Yeah, and many people would echo that as well.
That seems a little extreme, Todd.
What's that?
I said many people would echo that we both know.
Well, there's no question. And when you're accustomed to going to battle and defend people, it's just a different world, and it changes your way of thinking. So to work with somebody like Nate or even somebody like myself is to talk to people who are going to have a very different perspective and at the very least cause you to think more strategically. And the value in that is unspeakable. It's invaluable is what it is.
Well, thank you to both of you guys. Todd, you're amazing as always, and great to talk to you.
Thank you so much, Bob.
Thank you, Todd. Thank you, Bob. Good to talk to you guys. See you at the next networking meeting.
You got it. Thanks, Nathan. Okay, you guys, thanks for joining me on the Bob Davis Podcast, and thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast on iTunes. Tune in, Spotify, right off the page at thebobdavispodcast.com with both streaming audio, which Todd loves, as well as selecting individual podcasts. I appreciate the likes and the shares on Facebook and Twitter. Don't care about the comments. That's a subject for a different podcast. And as always, thanks for your donations for Mobile Podcast Command at thebobdavispodcast.com. Thanks for listening to Podcast 917, the Bob Davis Podcast, How to Survive the Financial Armageddon. Once upon